And now, your host, Georgia.
Race is the critical factor in all of history. The destiny of a country depends on its race. If you change the demographics of America, you change everything. Hispanics, Asians, Jews, and blacks all have their own ethnic interests. White European American people also have their own white ethnic interests, and it is not racist to have them. It is always about group interests. An ethnic without a sense of peoplehood will end up being used to achieve the goals of other ethnies. In 1903, poet Emma Lazarus wrote the words that are engraved on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Well, today we have over 300 million people living in America. And we have been told we are a melting pot. Is this what the brave people who came, who conquered, who gave us this place, America, that we all call home, is this what they had in mind? Are we a nation of immigrants? My guest today is Frank Raymond, the author of Sweet Dreams and Terror Cells, and that's T-E-R-R-O-R, was born in Calcutta, India. Frank was our guest on January the 25th when we talked about the importance of the white Caucasian race, what they have contributed to Western civilization, what makes them unique, and the question was, will they continue to walk the earth? Now, if you missed that show, you can listen to the podcast on zbsradio.com, January the 25th. But today we're going to focus on immigrants and what does a nation of immigrants imply. So welcome to Wednesday with Georgia. The date is March the 1st, and we're very glad you've chosen to tune us in today, as I think this is going to be a very interesting and thought-provoking show with information that may be new to some of you. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing real good, Georgia. How about yourself?
It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood, and we've got a great guest, so I'm all good, Sam.
I'm guessing you were every bit as inspired last night as I was.
I surely was, and we will roll that conversation over to Friday.
Yes, okay.
Our timing today was off on that, but yes, very much so.
All right.
So let's get to our sponsor.
This segment of KSCO Presents Georgia is brought to you by Del Valle Gunsmithing. When it's time to tend to your rifle, shotgun, or pistol, go to the gunsmith with 30 years of tending to the business. That's Ray Parga and his staff at Del Valle Gunsmithing, 224 Rheindollar Avenue in Marina. Phone number 831-384-1911. That's 831-384-1911. And don't forget to go to DelValleGunsmithing.com.
The father of our country, George Washington, said, "Firearms stand next to importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms anywhere restrains evil interference, and they deserve a place of honor with all that is good." So that was said to us by our first president, George Washington. So Sam, I think what I'd like to do is go to break so that when we come back, we will have Frank Raymond start our conversation as we discuss, are we a nation of immigrants? So stay tuned, everybody. I don't think you want to miss this. It's going to be a great show today.
Sounds like a plan. Let's do it.
Let's go.
There's an Orange Opportunity sales event going on now at your local Kubota dealer. Take on the tough jobs in a powerful Kubota Standard L Series. With the right combination of dependable horsepower, high-quality construction, and ease of operation, they're perfect for the independent property owner. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 60 months. Now through March 31st, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms. There's an Orange Opportunity sales event going on now at your local Kubota dealer. Kubota's RTVX series is the best-selling diesel utility vehicle in the industry, earning their place by setting the standard for being durable and reliable under all kinds of conditions. Right now, you can get long-term financing as low as 0% APR for up to 48 months. Now through March 31st, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms.
CNN Tractors makes it so easy to get a Kubota. It'll handle your tough jobs. CNN Tractors in Watsonville. Give us your tough jobs.
Maybe you live in fear of your utility bill. Maybe you're tired of the pain. If you want to understand your bill, call 831-900-1001. Call 831-900-1001 and get your PG&E bill analyzed for free. Call Your Energy Concepts at 831-900-1001. That's 831-900-1001. They're right here in the Bay Area. Your Energy Concepts.
Billy, I need a co-host.
And you're looking at me?
I'm looking at Luigi.
Oh, Luigi, the computer guy.
Yeah, that guy. Hey, Luigi, you want to be my co-host?
You mean like on the radio?
Yes, on the radio.
Heck yeah, dude, I'll be on the radio with you. That sounds awesome.
When you do the show on the air, are you going to do it with more than one microphone? Because the noise when you swing it back and forth is kind of annoying.
Squeaky's fine.
All right. When's the show start?
It's going to be Wednesdays from 7 to 8.
KSCO.com.
Don't miss it.
Everybody, you are listening to KSCO 1080 AM with Georgia on your favorite radio station. Today, you can't turn on a TV news show, read a paper, any kind of periodical, search the web without the discussion of immigration. We have been led to believe that we are a nation of immigrants. Now, back by popular demand today is my guest, Frank Raymond, who is going to outline for us if we have been conditioned to believe America is a nation of immigrants. So, Frank, welcome back to KSCO. We want to thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to help us understand the sequence of how we have come to believe that we are indeed a nation of immigrants.
Pleasure to be on KSCO, Georgia, and thank you for giving me some time on your show.
Well, we're delighted to have you. And let's start, Frank, with a question I have. When we protest the inflow of foreigners, the colonization of our America by legal or illegal immigration, we are told to shut up because we're a nation of immigrants. So, Frank, is the United States a nation of immigrants?
Well, what I'll say is that when people try to colonize the USA or try to replace all white peoples. In fact, when they try to replace white people in their own countries with other races, they have lies, lots of lies. Everything you hear on TV is a lie. But the detailed lies aren't as important as the lies of slogans and doctrines. The "we are a nation of immigrants" is a very big lie. And it's time to examine that lie. So let's ask if the U.S. is a nation at all. Today's America started as a nation of 13 colonies, and then it created what we call a nation state, the United States. A nation state as France was once a nation state, or Germany was once a nation state. But that United States has been subverted, and today the U.S. is not a nation state like Japan or Hungary. It's just a state. It's an economic entity. In fact, it's not even a functional state or a sovereign state. It's a failing state. No borders. Alien colonists are calling for influx of their own people to colonize and overpopulate the land. Corporations take their jobs abroad, hiring people for call centers in Costa Rica, while their own youth and people are unemployed. The lobby for a foreign state called Israel controls the foreign policy of the U.S. and loots the country of billions in various ways. With every riot following a police shooting, it is plain to see that the U.S. is in a condition of low-level civil war. and that a racial war is inevitable and imminent. The fall and breakup of the U.S. will be more bloody and messy than the fall of the Soviet Union was, and it will happen soon. Why? Because it is not a nation. No, the U.S. is not a nation, and it's not a nation of immigrants. And you know why? Because a nation of immigrants is not a nation, and never can be.
Wow, Frank, this could possibly explain why there is so little crime in Japan. You know, they don't allow immigration at all. If you meet a Caucasian, a black, or Hispanic in Japan, you are certain that they are visiting or just studying there. They are not a citizen. They also don't have any homeless people on their streets, which is very interesting. I guess then we have to ask what a nation is, Frank.
Well, why don't we get right there? The human species, not the human race, I didn't say the human race. I said the human species differentiated and divided into many races, many breeds. Those races formed into, are called nations. Sometimes the nations group together to form a state, but the different races are called nations. Now, the word nation derives from the Latin word natus, which means birth. So a nation is a racial group which also keeps together, kind of inbred, so that they can trace their ancestry back to a common base, back to forefathers and mothers who were shared in common. For example, most ethnic British people can trace their descent from only 10 women who lived about 10,000 years ago. So, a nation is a racial group with a common ancestral base, common set of ancestors. It has a common mind and a common soul. They feel comfortable with each other. It has some special characteristic, and it has a sense of self and self-group. It has a self, it knows the self, and since it knows the self, it knows the other, the alien. Now, also, you don't need a land to be a nation. The Jews live scattered all around the world, but they're a nation. The Jew who lives in Australia feels a sense of nationhood and brotherhood with the Jews in America and Israel. They intermarry, they act as one people. There's even dating sites for Jewish singles, and Jews from, say, Germany or Sweden match up and meet up with Jews in Australia, and they marry. So you don't need a land to be a nation. You need a racial group with a common set of ancestors and a common identity. Now, it also happens that a race, once a race, a nation, a race and a nation, can divide up and form nations. For example, the English are a race, but they could, if they wanted, divide into a Catholic England and a Protestant England, and those would be two separate nations. But still, the racial bond is the primary thing. Americans now, split away from Britain and Europe, they were the same race, but they split away because they lived on a different continent and had different interests and needed their own government. So that can happen too. Within a race, people can split into separate nations. That can happen. And now I'll take you right to America. The colonists who founded the 13 colonies were a nation. They were a bloodband of Caucasians who lived on the North American continent. And they expected that eventually all future Americans would trace their descent from the first three or four founding generations. They expected that. They didn't expect immigration forever. Just once the land is settled, it'll stop. And they knew that the black slaves were aliens, others. And that hasn't changed in three centuries. Today we see clashes and riots by blacks who see whitey as the enemy. We also see Latinos demanding no wall and demanding open borders so that more of their nation can flood in, so that Mexico can absorb the U.S. Asians, who have no conceivable right to the soil of the U.S., are howling about white privilege. Racial division is all around you, all the time. That would not happen in a nation. It doesn't happen in Poland or Korea.
Yeah.
I ask you to look to the past. Look at the paintings of the founding fathers in council. Look at the paintings of the early Americans building their farms, working in their meadows. One people, one language, one heart. But that nation has been subverted and destroyed And now the U.S. is not a nation, but a mess. It is now a so-called nation of immigrants.
Wow. You know, in the United States, there's a direct correlation between ethnic homogeneity and low levels of violence. And according to the 2016-2017 data, the four states with the lowest percentage of violence are Vermont, which is 95% white, Maine, 95% white, Wyoming, 93% of the population is white, and New Hampshire, which is 94% of the population, which is white. Now, Sweden, for much of its modern history, had among the world's lowest rates of violent crime and was as homogenous as Japan. But since they have started admitting hundreds of thousands of immigrants from the Middle East and North Africa, the levels of violence have increased dramatically, and it is no longer a homogeneous kind of country. Amazing, isn't it?
A nation.
Beg your pardon?
It is no longer a nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does the term a nation of immigrants imply or signify to the common person, Frank?
Well, an immigrant can be anyone of any race from any country. Because the term immigrant, you're not saying Indonesian immigrant or white immigrant or African immigrant, you're just saying immigrant. That's a neutral term. So if the U.S. is a nation of immigrants, it is a country of Somali immigrants and Indonesian immigrants, not the country that the founding fathers created.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a broad term, and a nation of immigrants is a nation of everybody, Vietnamese, Congolese, everybody. The Congolese immigrant has as much right to the soil and the streets as the descendant of the Mayflower colonists. The term nation of immigrants denotes a multiracial, multicultural country. It denotes a so-called universal nation. But it goes a bit further. Nation of immigrants is a so-called value, a defining characteristic of the nation. That's how they present it to you, that we are a nation of immigrants, as if it's a principle, a defining quality of America. Well, if that's so, you've got to have immigration all the time. Because if you stop immigration today, they'll say, no immigration, then we are not America anymore. We're a country of immigrants. We got to have immigration all the time. And that means immigration eternally until you become a slum of 800 million people. A slum.
Wow. Looks like that's where we're headed, doesn't it?
So what does the term mean? The term nation of immigrants means a multicultural, multiracial country open to the whole world with constant inflow of people for all time to the end of time. Now, that's not what the U.S. Constitution calls for. That's not what the founders intended. They would have shot an immigrant from Sri Lanka as an enemy alien and a foreign colonizer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the legitimacy of this term has to be asked, you know, who said so?
Well, the left in our country seems committed to multiculturalism, Frank. They believe that these people can assimilate into our country. But if we look at France or Sweden and Germany, since they started taking in millions of these immigrants, those people have no intention of becoming Frenchmen, Swedes, or Germans. And we see these Mexican kids who wave the Mexican flag in our country while they burn the American flag, who don't want to learn our language. So we give them Spanish radio and TV. And then we have Muslims who can get, you know, cable TV for Arabic. These people don't seem to want to learn English. And all we have to do is look at Dearborn, Michigan. It's all Muslim, and it looks like you're living in the Middle East to understand they're not assimilating, Frank.
Well, even if they did assimilate, what of it? Then it wouldn't be America.
Right. I know you said that before. Mm-hmm.
Your people would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you pour tomato juice into a glass of Coke, it won't be Coke anymore.
Right.
And you lose the quality of Coke.
Mm-hmm. So assimilating is not the answer, is what you're saying, whereas assimilating is what...
Assimilation means genocide.
Uh-huh.
Your genocide.
Wow. Interesting. What also fascinates me, Frank, is that multiculturalism was never, ever voted on by the American people. They never had a say about perhaps one day being displaced as a people.
Well, it's such an important thing. It should have been submitted to a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been. That has never been submitted to a referendum in any country, from New Zealand to Sweden to France. It was imposed by cunning, guile, and craft.
Mm-hmm.
And once imposed, cunning, guile, and craft you'll see in the 1965 Immigration Act. You were told cunningly that it wouldn't change anything.
Right.
So the point is that since no referendum was ever called, and since in America, for example, the founding fathers were would have been against it and were against it, and they proved it by the laws they passed, multiculturalism is an illegitimate construct. It is illegitimate and has no validity. And at the same time, it is against the will of the founders. It is basically illegitimate. There is no need to be anyone who goes around yelling that it's a Valley of America is a liar.
Mm-hmm. So it's an illegitimate construct, and it goes against the founding fathers. But people would say, however, we're a different country today, and the people who run our country do not have or share that same view.
You know something? I'm sorry,
CBS
but
News.
We have to go to the bottom of the hour news. We'll
stay
be
with
right
us,
back.
Everybody. Frank will pick this up on the other side of the CBS News. Our number here is 831-479-1080. We'll be back after the news to continue our talk with Frank Raymond today about immigrants in the United States.
Attention, men. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or Cialis, or if you've ordered an over-the-counter product in the last few years, Noxetril is an option that is completely private, has received tremendous reviews, and can be at your door in just days. Pharmaceutical companies dislike us because we present a real option to their higher prices and insurance limitations. After years of research, Noxetril has been developed and formulated in U.S. FDA labs, packed with the highest quality potent ingredients. Noxetril is a true breakthrough in male potency. This remarkable all-natural pill is being called Viagra on steroids and is known as a sure winner. So what are you waiting for? Call now and ask how to get your free supply.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-480-5681. That's 800-480-5681. Free bottles for a limited time, so call now. 800-480-5681. 800-480-5681.
Hi, I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
The saying goes, if you don't know the law, know a lawyer. This is Monterey College of Law Dean Mitchell Winnick. Join my co-host, Law Professor Stephen Wagner, and me each week for Wagner and Winnick on the Law. Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m., we will discuss the laws that affect each and every one of our daily lives. Wagner and Winnick on the Law, Saturdays, 4 p.m., here on KSCO AM 1080.
New special report. The Dow goes where it's never gone before, jumping 303 points to close above the 21,000 level. Investment advisor Michael Farr says Wall Street liked what it heard from President Trump in last night's speech to Congress.
Committing to things like his tax cut, immigration reform, number of things seem to really strike a chord with investors, not only in terms of content, but with the president's tone.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says infrastructure plans were a big hit.
The president mentioned $1 trillion on spending, and frankly, it doesn't really matter whether it's private or public funds. $1 trillion is going to provide a boost for lots of companies in the construction and materials sectors.
From here,
I think that what we really need to see are details of each of those proposed policies. That's when Wall Street's going to start more seriously taking into account what the potential impact could be over the short and long term.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, everyone. This is Meg from Ben Lomond Market, letting you know that the store has a sale on, of course, this week. So I'm going to mention a few items for you from the meat department. Red snapper, fresh, $7.99 a pound. Made in-house, Ben Lomond Market sausages. We have chicken apple, turkey Italian, and chicken basil for just $5.99 a pound. Porterhouse steaks, $11.49 a pound. Now, those are USDA choice, melt in your mouth, and short ribs at $7.99 a pound, just to mention a few. We cut all of our steaks and chops at 1-inch thickness, so if you ever want a thicker or a thinner cut of meat, just ask, and one of the butchers there will be happy to take care of that for you. Don't see what you want in the counter. Just ask, and the meat department staff will do their very best to get you what you need. This sale is good through Tuesday, February 28th, with a new sale starting on Wednesday. The sales are going on in all departments throughout the store, so come on in and do some shopping, do some talking, say hello, and thank you for shopping with us at Ben Lomond Market.
Good afternoon, everybody. In case you have just joined us, we are talking today with Frank Raymond, the author of that great book I talked about, Sweet Dreams and Terror Cells. And we're talking about the most talked about subject today, immigration, illegal and legal immigration. Are we a nation of immigrants? And is the multiculturalism working? Because as we look around our towns today, our cities across our nation, we see a great division among all of the races. We have 95 million Americans still out of work, and yet illegals continue to flood into our country. So, Frank, let's pick up our talk, and I have another question. When we hear that we have always been a nation of immigrants, was early America a nation of immigrants?
Well, that's an important question, because people don't just say we are a nation of immigrants. They say we have always been.
Mm-hmm.
They say that. Now, let's just consider, what's an immigrant? An immigrant is a person who approaches the U.S. embassy in his country, fills out an application form, waits for a visa, eventually arrives by ship or plane, and then takes a job, or as happens today, takes welfare or some other social assistance, right?
Right.
Now, the colonists who came on the good ship Mayflower were not immigrants, and they did not apply for a visa. Neither did the Jamestown colonists who arrived in Virginia on three ships. Out of 104 settlers who arrived, only 38 survived. In 1846, a body of pioneers led by George Donner and James Reed was crossing the continent to settle in California on horseback, by car.
Mm-hmm.
They were trapped by snow in the Sierra Nevada mountains and had to become cannibals, eating the dead so that some could survive and build homes and a civilization in California. In fact, throughout the 19th century, whites migrated to and settled in territories such as Oregon and California. How? They used the covered wagon, drawn by horses known as Conestoga wagons, prairie schooners, or western wagons. Those journeys were incredibly heroic. It's worth looking at the ordeal and heroism of one group known as the Mormons. In the 1840s, they heard that there was fertile land in Utah, and they crossed the Great Alkali Plain in their covered wagons. Yes, Virginia, it's true. Among other obstacles, with wives and little children, they crossed the immense Alkali Plain, bleached by the sun, littered with the bones of men and animals. That odyssey was such an accomplishment that the writer of the Sherlock Holmes stories, Conan Doyle, wrote it into his Sherlock Holmes long stories. Mm-hmm. I'll read you two lines from it. From the shores of the Mississippi to the western slopes of the Rocky Mountains, they had struggled on with a constancy almost unparalleled in history. The savage man and the savage beast, hunger, thirst, fatigue and disease, every impediment that nature could place in their way, had all been overcome with Anglo-Saxon tenacity. Yet the long journey and the accumulated terrors had shaken the hearts of the stoutest among them. There was not one who did not sink upon his knees in heartfelt prayer when they saw the broad valley of Utah bathed in the sunlight beneath them.
Wow.
So the nation of white Americans...
Mm-hmm.
Nation of white Americans, you can call it true Americans, was founded by seafarers, conquerors, settlers, explorers, pioneers, and civilization builders. It was not founded by immigrants. Later, white immigrants came and helped to secure and build the country. Much later, after the country had been built and sufficiently populated, that is, to a maximum of 100 million, corporations greedy for profits from low wages, interested in busting the unions, manipulated the government into bringing in more true American immigrants who augmented the population. So I suppose, Georgia, my answer to you is, if someone asks you who you are, who white Americans are, the answer is, our nation, the true American nation, was founded by European seafarers, heroes, explorers, conquerors, pioneers, settlers, and civilization builders, and augmented by waves of European immigrants who enlarged our family.
Mm, boy. So greed and corporations got in the way, and that began the beginning of the immigrants being a part of our country on an ongoing basis.
Well, immigrants were coming in to build the country. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the country was being built up to when there were 100 million people.
Right.
100 million would be an optimum population for America, for a people who loved wide spaces, privacy, and land. You might remember the song, Don't Fence Me In.
Give
me land, lots of land.
Yeah,
Fence me in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for that people, 100 million was the optimum. The country was being built up to that point. Once it passed the 100 million mark, and that was in 1920, the country was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the destruction all around you.
Oh, now we're going to be living in what they call stack and pack housing, Frank. If we look in the Bay Area alone, what is happening over there, it is absolutely frightening. There are miles and miles and miles of these little tiny apartments. Stack and pack, they call them. And we're just going to be living like little rats in these houses.
Yeah.
Because of this overpopulation of people coming in that you are describing.
Yep, so corporations are interested in their profits, but the American people as a whole didn't want that, and they were destroyed by it. Their lifestyle has been destroyed by it, and it's still being destroyed. Today, mm-hmm. you're at 320 million.
Yeah.
The country has been steadily destroyed since 1920, and guess what? They have 1 million immigrants a year now.
I know it.
You're watching a country... Mm. being destroyed as if people are stacking up cordwood
mm-hmm.
For your funeral pyre.
Wow. Well, did the founding generations want what the phrase nation of immigrants implies? Did they really want a multicultural country, a so-called universal nation? Because it sure feels that way, Frank.
Did the founding generations want it? Well, let's have a look.
Okay.
Where do you get this impression from? You get this impression from something called Thanksgiving, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Thanksgiving is a uniquely American tradition. It's part of the story of America. And since 1960, at least, American children have been taught that the founders intended a multiracial country and wanted to live among other races, other peoples. And they were taught a lie based on this painting titled The First Thanksgiving. And they're shown this painting in American schools, The First Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And this painting was actually drawn in 1914 by one Jenny Brownscombe. Now, as you notice, it was drawn in 1914. It wasn't drawn at the time of the Founding Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this painting shows pilgrims at Plymouth Rock holding a feast with Native Indian guests sitting at the same table. And they're all in a mood of peace, tranquility, and holiness. But as I said... And the story is that the whites and the Indians feasted and celebrated for 3 days. So that's one of the elements that make you feel, the Founding Fathers wanted a nation of immigrants, a multiracial country. But the truth is very different. The first Americans held many Thanksgiving celebrations. Often they held them after a victory over the Indians. But when was the first really official one, the one that was announced by a government official? That happened in 1637. Now, remember, in 1620, the good ship Mayflower landed, and it named that locality Plymouth Rock. And they established there the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Now, in 1637, that would be 17 years later, there was some incident in which some Native Indians committed some violence, and that's natural, they were being invaded, committed some violence against some white settlers. And in revenge for that, or in response to that, Dutch and English armed men made an attack on the Indians. At what is now Groton, Connecticut, 700 people of the Pequot tribe, P-E-Q-U-O-T, mm-hmm. of the Pequot tribe were holding their annual green corn dance. And all of a sudden, Dutch and English armed men surrounded them and massacred them. Well, the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and his name was probably John Winthrop, was very thankful for this because it enabled another land grab. You know, another the Pequot tribe was decimated, they could grab some more land. So he announced an official day of Thanksgiving. That was the first official day of Thanksgiving. Now, from that, it's clear that the first Americans intended not multiculturalism, but to carve out a state for whites only. And notice it was whites, not English or Scots. It was whites, because even then they were working with the Dutch, and later they worked with other Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Thanksgiving myth that's so much a part of this nation of immigrants and multiculturalism is a lie. Children are taught a lie. That picture they are shown is a lie.
Boy.
Now, the first black slaves arrived in North America in 1619, brought by the Dutch. The slaves received citizenship in 1868. Now, think about it. From 1619 to 1868, the only substantial ethnicities in the U.S. were the whites, the native Indians, and the African slaves or their descendants. And in this time, the whites were not immigrants. They were conquerors and settlers. The natives were not immigrants. And the black Africans certainly didn't come as immigrants. Nobody in early America was an immigrant. So when you hear someone say, "We have always been a nation of immigrants," you're listening to a blithering idiot.
Oh, my goodness. I am just astounded at what we have been conditioned to believe and conditioned to see, as you say, through paintings that portray things that perhaps really weren't what was really going on. It makes you wonder why was this history changed? Do you think it was changed in order to push for this immigration, to push for the destruction of this country ultimately? Because this could be the end of the United States as we have known it since its inception, if this continues. Would you agree?
Well, the United States as built has been destroyed. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the same America that your father or grandfather lived in. But this really started a long time ago. There was a determined drive to genocide the white peoples and replace them on the country. That was a long time ago, and Emma Lazarus was part of it. But, you know, I'll get to the lie of Lady Liberty later on.
Okay. In fact, let's hold it right there, Frank, because we're at another one of those profit breaks. We have to go away for 2 minutes, but we will be back, everybody, and we will pick up our conversation. So I hope you'll stay with us. And by the way, our number is 831-479-1080. If you have a comment or a question, feel free to call in. We'll be back.
Hi, registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs here. I've been studying healthy bodies for 35 years, and what I've got to tell you may shock and surprise you, but if you listen up, it may change your life. One of the things that I noticed as a young pharmacist working in psychiatric hospitals was the fact that many of my patients were also dealing with movement disorders. As it turns out, these kinds of disturbing effects, which are difficult to treat and oftentimes incurable, are a common adverse reaction associated with regular dosing of antipsychotic medications. Doctors call this condition tardive dyskinesia, which basically means a delay in how the brain and nervous system process information associated with involuntary and out-of-control movements, especially involving the face, jaw, and tongue. One of the strategies doctors
doctors used to prevent tardive dyskinesia was dosing with antihistamines, which affect nerve signals that precede TK. As it turns out, these kinds of drugs, which are readily available over the counter and many folks use to alleviate the symptoms of colds and allergies, can have powerful effects on the brain. This was highlighted in a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, pointing to regular dosing with antihistamine drugs as a possible cause of dementias. If you're using antihistamines to counteract their side effects or for any other reason, you may want to consider taking advantage of some non-toxic alternatives. Bioflavonoids found in all fruits and vegetables and herbs and vitamin C have antihistamine properties, and probiotics also have histamine-lowering effects that can be helpful too. And correcting digestive problems, eliminating problem foods, and just eating less can help reduce the jerks and jolts of TK, help calm the body down, and is always a good idea no matter what your health challenge may be. Pharmacist Ben here, urging you to go to KSCOHealth.com to order Beyond Tangy Tangerine, the Healthy Start Pack, and other nutritional supplements that I personally use and recommend. You can purchase these premium quality products at wholesale prices online at KSCOHealth.com. That's KSCOHealth.com. I'm a pharmacist that believes that staying healthy and strong is not only about medicine, it's about giving your body the raw materials it needs to do its work. Go to KSCOHealth.com. Make sure you check out the cool videos, too, at KSCOHealth.com. That's KSCOHealth.com.
Okay, we are back. Frank, it's interesting. We had a whole bunch of callers on the board. They all fell off. Now a few of them are trying to get back in. I have a feeling people aren't sure how to react to what they're hearing, but until we get their names on the board, we will continue forward. And I have another question for you. What about the independence from Britain and the attitude of the founding fathers?
Well, that's actually very important, because Americans say that their values, their mission, their identity is defined by their founding fathers. They celebrate the 4th of July, and they refer to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. So that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go there. The first American settlers formed the Jamestown colony in Virginia in 1607. Settlers from Europe poured in freely, no permission or immigration procedures needed. Then the U.S. became independent and became a state in 1783. The U.S. Constitution was written and enacted into law in 1787. And what did the Constitution state in its preamble? I'm hearing music there.
We've got somebody banging next door to us. I apologize. Is there any way somebody can ask them to please stop that noise? Sam, any way we can do anything?
Do you want me to put calls on the air, or do you want me to go outside?
Go outside. We'll continue this conversation. See if you can tell them that they're interfering with the broadcast here. Yeah, I apologize for that. Maybe we can get
to the... The preamble to the U.S. Constitution says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union," so forth and so on, "and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity." Now, our posterity means the children down the generations of our folk. Today, you have a lot of Chinese students who are filling the university. They become citizens later. But George Washington would not have recognized Chinese students as his posterity. Today, everyone and his dog says America is a nation of immigrants, as if that was the basic principle and law of the U.S. state. But that phrase is nowhere in the Constitution. The very document that lays down the basic principles and basic laws of the U.S. So someone has to ask, where does this nation of immigrants slogan come from?
Mm-hmm.
Is it legitimate? Well, it certainly didn't come from the founding fathers, because they went on. After making the Constitution in 1787, they 3 years later, they passed the Naturalization Act of 1790 and amended it in 1795. This was the first immigration act in America, and it was written by the founding fathers. And what does this act say, the Naturalization Act of 1790? It limits citizenship to, quote, "free white persons," quote. It ruled out white indentured servants. It ruled out all blacks. Slaves are free. And ruled out everybody else. It just said citizenship is limited to free white persons.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was the intent of the founders. But let's talk about one of the founders, the principal author of the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson. Now, school children in America are taught that in the Jefferson Memorial, there is carved the words from his autobiography regarding the Negro slaves. And what did he write in his autobiography? Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people are to be free. So that's what the children read. But the children are taught a bit of a lie of omission. The memorial staff have craftily left out something that is politically incorrect, that is politically incorrect today.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the full passage from Thomas Jefferson's autobiography? What did he write? He wrote, quote, "Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people are to be free. Nor is it less certain that the two races, equally free, cannot live in the same government. Nature, habit, opinion has drawn indelible lines of distinction between them." In other words, Thomas Jefferson wrote that the two races are very different. There is a line between the white race and the black race, and it should not be crossed. The blacks cannot live in the same country with us. So, if I had to look at all that, what's the summary? It's crystal clear, indisputable, that the founding fathers never wanted a multicultural country, a nation of immigrants. They wanted an ethnostate peopled by a blood blend of the Caucasian races.
Wow. Frank, I have a feeling that that quote is a quote that many Americans have not ever heard or read, myself included. I'm just amazed at that.
In the autobiography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we do have one caller who is courageous enough to call in today. Sean in Live Oak has a question. Hi, Sean. Oh, it's line one, Sam.
Yes.
I've got it on the air.
Yeah, Sean, are you there? Sean?
Hear me?
Yeah, speak up, Sean.
Hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
No, not well enough, no.
Speak up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you on delay? Sean, you need to turn off your radio if you're listening to the radio.
I think he might have a VoIP connection for his phone, in which case he's getting some...
feedback?
Some interference.
Okay.
And possibly a bandwidth problem.
Can you fix it, Sean?
Really, it's supposed to be an analog line. I can try calling back.
Yeah, well, that's better there. Go ahead. What is your question?
Hey, my question is, when the British gained control of India, how did that change?
You're fading out, Sean.
Okay, we've lost him.
Yeah, Sean, you'll have to call back. But I don't think we're talking about British and India. We're talking about the United States of America today, Sean.
And only the nation of immigrants part of it.
Yeah. Okay, in response to what you just read to us by Thomas Jefferson in his autobiography, I have a question. Didn't Abraham Lincoln, surely he wanted a society of whites and blacks. He freed the slaves. And if he did so, he would have wanted a society that would include Chinese and Latinos and have a multicultural society, wouldn't he, Frank?
Abraham Lincoln. Well, Abraham Lincoln certainly freed the slaves, but the rest doesn't follow. Let me explain. The Civil War lasted from 1861 to 1865. And after that war, Lincoln was very happy that the slaves were no longer slaves. But the last thing he wanted was to live with them in the same America. He agreed with Thomas Jefferson. In fact, Lincoln spent the last years of his life trying to ship them out of America. During the Civil War, on the 9th of August, 1862, Lincoln addressed a delegation of black people. They were the leaders of their community. And he tried to persuade them to lead an initiative to ship all black people back to Africa. And he pleaded with them to do it. And he said, And I'm now quoting from Lincoln directly. Quote, "You and we are different races." He's speaking to black people. "You and we are different races. We have between us a broader difference than exists between almost any other two races. Whether it is right or wrong, I need not discuss. But this physical difference is a great disadvantage to us both, as I think your race suffer very greatly, many of them by living among us, while ours suffer from your presence. In a word, we suffer on each side. If this is admitted, it affords a reason at least why we should be separated." That was Abraham Lincoln speaking. We should be separated.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Lincoln proposed an amendment to the Constitution, and that amendment ran, "Congress may appropriate money and otherwise provide for colonizing free colored persons with their own consent at any place or places without, that is outside, the United States." So he spent a lot of time trying to ship the black slaves back to Africa, and when he was unsuccessful, guess what? He tried to move them to Panama, to a province called Chiriqui. Chiriqui.
Wow. Frank, that blows my mind. I'm beginning to wonder what history books I really studied. I don't recall ever reading or hearing anything like what you have said today, which are quotes from both these men. Were those just eliminated? That quote by Lincoln? I don't recall reading that in history class. Does anybody out there recall that? Do you, Sam?
I certainly don't know.
So this is just bizarre to me, Frank.
Well, it's all there in the books, but those books are not discussed on the mass media today or in the universities today.
Uh-huh. Okay, we have hit that CBS top of the hour news. Please meet us on the other side. We will continue our conversation with Frank, and we ask for your phone calls. Surely you have something to ask or say about what you're hearing today. We'll be back after the CBS News.
Watsonville and Gilroy about a day and a half ago. 129, 156, 183, 68, all looking good. 101, no complaints there either. Little speed dip northbound out of Morgan Hill. Clear skies overnight, a low near 39, and tomorrow sunny like today with a high near 65 on the coast. 306, time for hour two of Georgia. This is KSEO Santa Cruz.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSEO presents Georgia. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Georgia.
Welcome to the second hour of KSCO Presents. My guest today is Frank Raymond, author of Sweet Dreams and Terra Cells. And I'm sure many of you are wondering about all those history classes that we all sat through, and what we learned there seems quite different from what we're hearing today. And in fact, I'm getting tons of emails from people asking, Frank, the quote from Thomas Jefferson is from his autobiography, but the quote from Abe Lincoln, where can people find that quote?
Well, I found it on Google quite easily, actually.
Really?
He had a meeting with African-American leaders, and I can tell you the date of that meeting, actually.
Okay.
I think I did mention the date. Let me see. 9th August, 1862.
Okay. August the 9th, 1862, and it's a quote from Abe Lincoln. If they Google that, they can pick it up?
Yep, and they can pick that up, and they should also Google Abe Lincoln or Abraham Lincoln, Chiriqui, C-H-I-R-I-Q-U-I.
Okie doke. All right, because
Chiriqui
so many...
Chiriqui is a province of Panama, and he made quite an effort to ship the blacks to that, anywhere but America, basically, anywhere but America.
And I have never heard that in my life, Frank. Okay, so we've got a ton of people now that have some questions, okay? Let's start with number one, Sam, Michael. Michael, the book he wrote is Sweet Dreams and Terror Cells. Frank, do you have a website he wants to know? Isn't that what you're calling about, Michael?
Well, he could look at my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is When Giants Break the Spell.
When Giants Break the Spell.
That's my YouTube channel, and all my interviews are there.
All right. And your book, of course, is Sweet Dreams and Terror Cells. Anything else, Michael?
Well, I just want to thank Mr. Raymond for this breath of fresh air. I went to school in the 80s and was force-fed the leftist agenda from the beginning, just like we're force-fed it through our media, through Hollywood, and now through all your universities. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when you see the truth and you learn more about history. It always provides ammunition showing that the left is hiding things and misquoting things and editing things out to their advantage. And it's just so nice to hear the truth for a change.
Well, thank you, Michael. Yeah.
Sir, I have to say to you that it's so difficult to hear the truth. I sympathize with you. Just the other day, Donald Trump said something about Sweden, and he made the mistake of saying, look what happened last night in Sweden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the very two nights later, there was a riot in Sweden in a suburb called Rinkeby. Now, I listened to how the mass media lied about it. I listened to it. There was CNN quickly brought up some so-called ambassador or expert, and he said, Sweden's doing very well. This mass migration has done very well for Sweden. All those companies, Volvo and so forth, have skyrocketing. There is no problem in Sweden. Well, the fact is Sweden is going down the drain. A country that was once wealthy is now deeply in debt. And they're robbing old people for their pensions. But then came the real lie. The real lie was they were saying, well, there was a riot, but it wasn't anything to do with migrants necessarily. These were Swedish-born people who committed the riot, who burned the cars. Now, listen to that word, Swedish-born. Mm. Well, every ethnic Swede is Swedish-born, so they lumped them in with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing they didn't say was that there has never been a riot in Sweden until these migrants came along, starting 20 years ago, and every riot has been in Sweden has been committed by migrants, by non-Swedes, by colored migrants, basically. That they didn't say. They said, well, it was actually committed by... not by recent migrants, but by Swedish-born people. That's the way they
well,
like
all you. All you have to do is go over half an hour to Salinas. And I welcome any of these leftists to dress up in blue or red and walk the streets of Salinas for one weekend. You'll and they're going to be shot at.
You'll be dead.
Because of a color they're wearing. And mostly shot at by illegal aliens.
Yeah, so the lies are everywhere. I'm afraid you won't escape them easily. And not until you can find a way to starve this media by just never paying for CNN, never pay for any of these leftist things, and maybe that will starve them, maybe. Yeah.
Thank you, Michael, for your call. And let's go now, Sam, to Fred and Bonnie Doon, who also has a question for our guest. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Georgia. How you doing?
Good.
Forgive the sound here. I'm at the vet with my dog. So
that's okay.
I have a question for your guest. You know, I've been disabled for many, many, many years, about 30 years. Back in 2001, when the second trade tower dropped, I turned off TVs and started reading books on economics, geopolitics. And it's incredible what you will discover and what you were not taught in high school.
Yeah.
And as a researcher, You know, I consider everything out there fake news, no matter what source you hear it from, until you can research it out. I do have a request from your guest, in that if you're going to make a quote, if you could specifically cite your source for me to get to the truth, I need to get underneath the surface. It's sort of frustrating. If you are going to make quotes, I would appreciate it if you could cite your source. And I do appreciate your guest being on today. You got my antennas up, and I'm always wanting to discover things. And but I have to consider your guest as a source of fake news unless I can get specific sources for his quotes.
Well, he did you specific sources, and we'll repeat them, Fred. Thank you for the call. Okay, Frank. So the sources again. The Thomas Jefferson is a quote from his autobiography. The Abe Lincoln is a quote dated August the 9th, 1862, in which he spoke that quote that Frank read for us, right, Fred?
To a delegation of black African leaders.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is the sources, Fred. Look it up. I'm going to look it up today.
Okay, by the way, the black African community did not want to do what Abe Lincoln requested. In fact, there was a violent reaction, and they said, no way. We ain't leaving for Africa. And it's pretty obvious from that that not only had they set down roots in America, but they were living a better life in America than even as former slaves or present slaves, then they would be living in Africa.
Okay.
That's the way they felt. They didn't want to leave.
All right. Line four, Sam Steve disagrees with Frank Raymond. Let's see what he has to say. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Georgia. You know, I really love your show, and me and my son can't wait on Wednesdays and Friday to listen to it, and I've been hearing you say that you wanted this guy back. A lot of people wanted it, and I wasn't too impressed with him the first time. And I turn on the radio today, and I hear him putting down Jefferson and Lincoln and all these people, and I want to know what the whole point of this is.
I don't think he's putting them down. He's quoting them, Steve. He's quoting them. That isn't
What's the point of quoting the people that we find dearly in our history? What's the point in coming up with stuff like that?
Well, the point is to educate yourself.
We were asked,
What is it going to do? Am I going to get some new information that's going to help me with today? I don't think so. You know, in the old days, they used to bleed people, too. I mean, they don't do that anymore. Medicine has evolved. So have people. All of our leaders had slaves. So what's the point in coming out and saying, oh, well, Lincoln said this. He didn't want to be with blacks. Neither did Jefferson. What's the point? Where are we going to go get with this?
Wait a minute. I'll answer your question. We were discussing if the phrase, we have always been a nation of immigrants, has any truth to it. That's the point.
Yeah. And by the way, Steve, anything you hear here or on the radio, nobody is holding a gun to anybody's head and saying that it has to resonate 100% with you. We're putting out information, Steve. You get to use your own critical thinking and do with it what you want. This is about information, Steve. So
these are about the people that we find fondly and dearly in everything in our history that we do. And you come on with this guy, and all of a sudden, these guys don't want to live around blacks.
Well,
what is that telling everybody?
I don't think any less of Abe Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson because of those quotes. They did a tremendous thing for this country. You and I wouldn't be sitting here having the conversation. Well, that's the whole point. Look at the big picture. But we don't eliminate parts of their lives or parts of what they said by hiding from it. I'm as blown away by it as you are, Steve. It's all part
of
the learning process.
I still don't see what the point and what we're learning from it at all.
Okay.
I think you're just teaching people the wrong thing.
All right,
later.
Steve. Well, you're entitled. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for your call, Steve. We're
going
to
take a quick
two-minute
break. We got tons of people that want to talk, so we'll be back.
When it comes to selecting a doctor, dentist, or an accountant, we all want to know who is going to take care of us, right? So before you select a gunsmith, I invite you to drop by Del Valle Gunsmithing and get to know us. Hello, I'm Ray Parga, owner of Del Valle Gunsmithing in Marina. I am very proud of the reputation we have earned in our 30 years of service to the Central Coast community of gun owners and soon-to-be gun owners. Drop by and get to know us. We are at 224 Rheindollar in Marina. Here's what you will find happening right now at Del Valle Gunsmithing.
Mention you heard Ray on KSEO, and he will cover your California gun registration fees on in-store gun purchases.
We all want to know who is going to take care of us, right? When it comes to your handguns and rifles, choose the family-owned gunsmith with a 30-year reputation of excellent service. We are Del Valle Gunsmithing at 224 Rheindollar in Marina. Drop by Del Valle Gunsmithing and get to know us. 831-384-1911. That's 384-1911 or DelValleGunsmithing.com. DelValleGunsmithing.com.
Does your business do shipping and receiving? Or maybe you're packing up to move across town? Coast Paper and Supply meets all your needs at affordable prices. We have boxes of all shapes and sizes, as well as a variety of packing tape and tape guns. For your fragile items, we carry bubble wrap, shipping peanuts, and Astrofoam. Shipping in bulk, we carry pallets and pallet wrap. You can find Coast Paper and Supply at 151 Josephine Street or at CoastPaperSupplyInc.com. You can also call us at 831-423-3350.
It's always open house at the Mike Young Real Estate Hour, and you are always invited to walk right in and join the discussion. Hello, I am Mike Young, and I love talking real estate with all the experts and with you. So get a jump on the real estate weekend every Friday, 7 p.m. on the Mike Young Real Estate Hour, right here on Listen and Be Heard Radio KSCO. The Mike Young Real Estate Hour is brought to you by Thunderbird Real Estate, Real People Selling Real Estate, by Rick Williams at American Pacific Mortgage, and by Steve Manville at Farmers Insurance. Friday at 7. See you then.
Want the truth? I certainly am dedicated to trying to find the truth. I go down lots of rabbit holes, you people out there, that are very uncomfortable. But I am willing to do that and to try, in trying to seek the truth. I thought that's what we were about. I thought that is how we will be set free. The truth will set us free. So for those of you who are having a problem with what you're hearing, maybe you should take a look at yourself and ask yourself, why are you afraid of the truth? Sam, let's get to some of our other callers. We've got Troy in Scotts Valley who wants to talk about the slaves. Hey, Troy.
We need to talk about Lady Liberty, too.
Yes, we will. We will get to that, Frank. Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, greetings all. Hey, Frank, it's good to talk to you. I got to say, the first time I listened to Frank, I was like, pull the hook. But I listened to the podcast three times, and I want to bow to Frank. This guy is a genius. I love what he has to say. He just, you have to listen to everything he has to say and take it all into context. But he was talking about repatriating some of the slaves to a province in Panama.
Panama.
Right. But Liberia, remember Liberia? We returned the slaves to Liberia.
Liberia was another. I don't know who promoted that, but certainly a lot of the slaves, a lot of slaves went to Liberia and founded a country there.
I believe it was James Monroe and the Monroe Doctrine, and they also Monrovia and Liberia were like. I mean, those were the history books I read, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm really enjoying Frank.
All right,
Frank. Model their constitution on the U.S. Constitution.
Hold on, I got a riddle for Frank.
Okay, make it quick.
Yes, sir.
So Frank, you brought up the Donner Party, right?
The Donner Reed Party, yeah.
Yeah, they ate everything but the things. You know why they didn't eat the things?
Why they didn't eat the things?
You should know this because you're my age. Because things go better with Coke. Okay.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Thanks for the laugh, Troy.
Thanks.
Okay. Troy is always good for a laugh. All right. Judith in Santa Cruz wants to say something about Muslims. Hi, Judith.
Hi.
thank you for taking my call. Well, thank God for President Trump. I mean, because I'm defending him and what he stands for, because so I'm going down more rabbit holes, and it's frightening. Okay, the Muslims, they don't teach love. I mean, they're teaching hate. If you go, there's in Sweden, a 60 Minutes crew from Australia. There's a video. It's called Sweden is Turning into a Muslim No-Go Ghetto. I wonder what Frank thinks we can do about this, because the people, we are absolutely being cuckolded or whatever. The Muslims don't, they, the Muslim religion needs to be studied. Islam, it's a cult. I have decided it's not a religion, it's a cult. It's anti-woman. Women aren't even people in there. I mean,
okay.
It's frightening.
I got to stop you here.
Okay.
I have to
thank
stop you.
Thanks.
My simple answer to you is, you need a country of your own, a territory of your own, a society of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Then you needn't worry about fire worshippers, Muslims, anybody. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about race, ethnicity. You need a country of your own.
Yeah. Okay, I hope that answered your question, Judith. We have a couple of more people. Daddy Bird, you have a question. What is it, Daddy Bird? Number one, Sam.
During the Korean War, prisoners taken captive by the North Koreans and the Communist Chinese and their Russian buddies were put in re-indoctrination classes where they were given history lessons, which are the alternative side of the... They gave the same history that your guest is giving us, which is true. I mean, it's real history.
Mm-hmm.
And they would train people who may be captured ahead of time. Don't get in arguments with them. Don't, you know, that kind of stuff. Make fun of it. Anyway,
what's your question, Daddy Bird?
Question. Do you think if anybody, hey, Frank, if you think if somebody was like an inmate in a communist system for 7 years and then they come out and run for political office, they ought to be checked to see if they can really be trusted?
Well, I think you can reprogram anyone. If you can reprogram cult members, you can reprogram people who've been through indoctrination camps in Korea.
Yeah, he's right.
I think it can be done, but it's rather difficult, but it can be done. Georgia might do it.
Yeah.
We've had a couple senators that got out of those camps, and they've been acting kind of strange. So.
Yeah, you mean McCain?
Yeah, I mean McCain.
McCain. We could start with that one, yes.
Don't tell anybody. On YouTube, there are YouTube videos of people who were prisoners who say that McCain collaborated with the North Vietnamese captors. They say it. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not.
Lots of stories about Mr. McCain. Mm-hmm.
Everett Alvarez was interrogated in Spanish by Cuban intelligence officers. They really gave him a bad time. They thought they could roll him over because he was a minority, but he wouldn't do it. He was actually a true hero.
Good man.
All right, Daddy Bird, thanks for that question. And let's go to RJ, number two in Carmel Valley, has a statement about Jefferson. Hi, RJ.
Hi, Georgia. Hi, Sam. Hi, Frank. Yes, I'd like to comment on what's going on here. And first of all, yeah, we are facing a coming civil war. And not only us, but Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could recommend a few issues that need to be changed with respect to Western civilization, the abolition of income redistribution. This is nothing more than a cleaned-up form of slavery. When a politician takes money that you work for and he redistributes it to people who did not earn it, that is the moral destruction of the culture. And that must be completely abolished. We are actually being forced to pay for our own destruction. And second point is the destruction of the priesthood of the federal judiciary. Now, I'm glad to hear so many comments about Thomas Jefferson. And let me read a few what he said about the priesthood of the federal judiciary. September 2018, 20 letter to William Charles Jarvis. You seem to consider the judges the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions, a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the deposition of an oligarchy. The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that to confided with the crime and party, its members would become despots. It has more wisely made all departments co-equal and co-sovereign within themselves. He continues, I know...
Say, RJ, excuse me, I'm really sorry to have to...
We're awfully close to the bottom.
We're going to get to the bottom of the
hour. Yeah, thanks for the call, RJ. Number two, Sam, and let's go. We've got to go to the CBS News. We'll be back on the other side to finish up the last half hour of our show.
That's right, and we do have some lines open at 479-1080. So if you want to get a call in, now's a good time.
There's an Orange Opportunity sales event going on now at your local Kubota dealer. Take on the tough jobs in a powerful Kubota Standard L Series. With the right combination of dependable horsepower, high-quality construction, and ease of operation, they're perfect for the independent property owner. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 60 months. Now through March 31st, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms. There's an Orange Opportunity sales event going on now at your local Kubota dealer. Kubota's RTVX series is the best-selling diesel utility vehicle in the industry, earning their place by setting the standard for being durable and reliable under all kinds of conditions. Right now, you can get long-term financing as low as 0% APR for up to 48 months. Now through March 31st, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms.
CNN Tractors makes it so easy to get a Kubota. It'll handle your tough jobs. CNN Tractors in Watsonville. Give us your tough jobs.
Do you have a plan for your money? Does your money come and go like the tides? Do you just leave your finances to fate? Cash is always flowing, money is always moving, and if you don't manage it, it will move away from you. So many people actually spend more time planning their next trip to the dentist than they do something even more important like their retirement. You know what they say, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Don't leave your financial future to fate. Take charge. Listen to Money Moves every Thursday at 7 p.m. here on KSCO AM 1080. Money Moves is dedicated to providing you tips and tools so you can manage your own money effectively. No one cares about your money more than you do. Therefore, you need the skills to manage your money. Listen to Money Moves every Thursday at 7 p.m. here on KSCO AM 1080.
CBS News Update. When it comes to the stock market, think old Hollywood.
Mae West said that too much of a good thing can be wonderful, and I think today's markets are finding out that she was right.
Investment advisor Michael Farr on today's record numbers on Wall Street. The Dow up more than 300 points to close above the 21,000 level for the first time ever.
Investors feel heartened today, and the Trump rally that began on election night has been renewed.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says it's the proposed deregulation traders were crazy for.
If you look at specific industries from election day to today, what has seen the greatest appreciation? Banking. And that's because without a lot of those regulations, those banks may not have to keep as much capital on hand. That means that they could probably return more of their profits to shareholders.
Record highs for the S&P and NASDAQ as well, each up more than 1.3%. CBS News Update. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Alex Baker from the Boys and Girls Clubs of Santa Cruz County. We invite you to First Friday Art Tour on March 3rd from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Santa Cruz Art Center in downtown Santa Cruz. The event will showcase the best local and regional youth art from Boys and Girls Clubs in the Pacific region, including California, Hawaii, and Alaska. These works have been chosen by local judges to compete in the Boys and Girls Clubs National Art Show. Learn more at boysandgirlsclub.info or call 423-3138.
Maybe you live in fear of your utility bill. Maybe you're tired of the pain. If you want to understand your bill, call 831-900-1001. Call 831-900-1001 and get your PG&E bill analyzed for free. Call Your Energy Concepts at 831-900-1001. That's 831-900-1001. They're right here in the Bay Area. Your Energy Concepts.
Okay, I am getting tons of emails here, all very positive. People really enjoying this, Frank, and many of them saying that you know more history about America than our history professors, and I would agree. Now, before I get to the rest of the callers, and I'm going to get to you, so stay there, I have an important question, Frank, that I've been saving till the end here. The Lady Liberty that I started the show out with, give me your poor, your wretched, is that the reason, that phrase, was that the nation of immigrants? Is that where it comes from, Frank? What do you think?
Well, that's not where it comes from, but the people who planted this phrase, the people who planted this lie into the American mind, they used Lady Liberty. And most Americans, when they see pictures of Lady Liberty or think of her, they think of her as an American figure standing at the gates of America, holding up a hand and waving, come in, come in, any refugee, any immigrant, come in. You want to have the American dream, come in. Now, that's the trouble, that lie that was planted into their minds so cunningly, it is just that, a lie. So I'll explain to you what Lady Liberty really stands for.
Okay.
When the American colonists decided to revolt and to try for independence from Britain, at that time France was already in conflict with Britain. So the French looked at the principle, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they supported the colonists, they supported the revolutionaries. So in the War of Independence, the American War of Independence, the US and France were allies. Well, later on, almost a century later, in 1885, for various political reasons, the French and the U.S. decided to celebrate their alliance and its victory. And as part of that, they said that the people of France will make a big gift, a statue, and send it to America, and show the world and remind the world that the French had supported the American fight for self-determination. So that was the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, France built, designed and built the Statue of Liberty, not America. So it's not an American icon. When you look at Lady Liberty standing there at the gates of the at the harbor, it's not an American icon, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not an American icon glorifying immigration. In fact, look carefully at Lady Liberty. The left hand of the lady holds a tablet. And the tablet has a date on it in Latin, but the date is 4 July 1776.
Hmm.
That was the date that what you celebrate as 4th July,
mm-hmm.
the date that the American revolutionaries signed the Declaration of Independence. So, in fact, the plan was that the statue would go on display on 4 July 1876, and that would celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. That was the plan. But money ran out. So that 100th anniversary didn't happen. And Lady Liberty came in a bit late. So basically, Lady Liberty celebrates the independence of America. It doesn't have anything to do with welcoming refugees from oppression and lack of freedom.
Wow.
It celebrates self-determination for a distinct nation, a distinct blood blend that has distinct interests because it lives on a distant continent. Huh. And guess what the statue is named? Liberty Enlightening the World.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't see anything there in that title about immigration for all time or immigration for all races.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
interesting.
None of it. Yeah. So that really what it was is celebrating the alliance of France and the U.S. in that war. And the independence of the U.S. Now, independence was self-determination. And I can, believe me, white Americans today decided on self-determination. If they tried to carve out a state for whites only in America, they could use the Statue of Liberty as an inspiration. Well, they surely could.
Wow. That's another interesting thing that we have misconstrued. Okay, Frank,
no, exposes lie number one, the lie being that Lady Liberty represents mass immigration, refugee inflows, and multiculturalism. It represents the victory of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, both of whom were, in today's world, racists.
That's right. That's the way people see them. All right. Thank you for that little lesson about Lady Liberty. Let's go to number three. Steve in Carmel has a question. Hi, Steve.
Well, I wanted to say that we were really pretty hard on the American Indians, but I wanted to ask Frank if you've heard of the book, The Real Lincoln, in which, and so people can use that as a reference, and I don't know if you've heard of it, Frank, but in that, it basically talks about Abraham Lincoln. The whole time he was president, he was negotiating to send the blacks back to Africa or another country, and he also considered blacks inferior. Have you heard of this book?
I never read the book or heard of it, but it sounds like a book of real history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He also said that 25 to 35% of the plantations in the South at the time of the Civil War starting were owned by blacks.
And Amazing, Steve.
They had black slaves.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That much I have heard, that many plantation owners were black and they employed black slaves. Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah. There's no way around it.
Yeah. We also never hear that the Africans caught and sold their fellow Africans as property and sold them into slavery and transported them to the Americas either, Steve.
Sounds like I'm a stud, but anyway, I'll let you go,
Georgia. Well, Steve, give me the name of that book again. I'd like
to look
it up.
It's called The Real Lincoln.
All right, thank
you. I've heard the author interviewed, and he's fabulous.
All right, I'm going to look that up. Thank you,
okay,
Steve.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
Well, that confirms what you just quoted, Frank. Okay, give me Sam, line four, caller number four, Spanish Americans. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Georgia. Yes, I wanted to know if
Frank
knew about anything about the Spanish Americans that were here since the 1540s. I'm Spanish American, Native American also, with European ties with German, Irish, Spanish, and Portuguese and French. Also, one more thing I want to talk about, the black people that are in Central America, they used to be called British Honduras, and they changed it to Belize. They speak English and Spanish there. I knew a friend of mine that was from there. He's a black guy, and he speaks both languages. I just wanted to know if you knew anything about that.
Well, it's not relevant to the issue we are discussing, the nation of immigrants concept, but I do know that the Spanish colonized most of the Americas, and that California was at one time a Spanish possession. Of course, you know, we recognize that. But I'd like to stick with the topic.
All right, thanks, Sam.
If I may.
Thank you. John in Royal Oaks, number one, has a question. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Hey, first off, this wasn't my original reason for calling, but with regards to the Statue of Liberty, it's my understanding that those words were not initially on there, the words about give us your free and your oppressed and so forth. They were added, I think, 20, 30 years after the actual installation of the statue. I'm not certain.
Let me answer your question, sir. I think I know a little bit about it. I could be wrong, but I think I know a little bit about it. The statue was made in France, but the agreement was that that pedestal, which is also a massive object, has to be made in America. And the money was an issue, raising money for the pedestal. And there was a group of people, among the group was a poet named Emma Lazarus. And they said, we'll raise money by writing a poem. Now, they didn't raise all the money for the statue, but they raised some money. And Emma Lazarus, who was not one of your people, not an Anglo or a white, but she was a Jew. Emma Lazarus is Jewish, and she wrote this poem. And the poem basically said, this statue is a colossus, and she compared it to the Colossus of Rhodes, an ancient Greek colossus, and said, go to hell with your, keep your colossus if you like. Our colossus is better, it has better ideals. It says, give me your wretched, you're hungry, you're starving, you're poor. And big politics and competition and conspiracy worked. Eventually, the most influential or most cunning group got its way, and Emma Lazarus' poem got inscribed on the pedestal.
Hmm.
Thank you for clarifying that. I knew that was something along those lines. I just coincidentally took a tour of several plantations near New Orleans and saw how the slaves live and so forth. And what you were telling me about not wanting to return, it clarifies a lot of things for me, because you can see in these plantations, they told us the slaves had to, you know, they were free to move about different plantations and so forth, depending on their place in the hierarchy. And many of them even after slavery was over, did not want to leave. They stayed there and worked on the plantations, either as sharecroppers or were, you know, as indentured servants and so forth. So it probably was a better life than going back to Africa.
Well, I don't agree with slavery. I don't think that they should ever have been enslaved. I don't think anyone should use a slave. I think it was a grave mistake for them to use slaves. I think many of them were inhumanely treated. But at the end of the day, these slaves were living in a high civilization with lots of comforts and technologies that they could never have even heard of in Africa. So they said, well, we want to stay here. And damn Abe Lincoln and his plans.
Huh. Thank you for your time on the show.
Thanks for the call, John. Okay, we're going to take our last break of the show. We'll be back in 2 minutes to finish up with Frank. And so if you have a question, now's the time because we're almost out of time. We'll be back.
Hi, KSCO listeners. This is Mrs. A from Mrs. A's famous Salsa Buena. I'm a teacher, mom, and salsa maker. Together, my family makes the best salsa on the market. Mrs. A's Salsa Buena is made fresh several times a week in our new commercial kitchen in Santa Cruz. Our salsas are unique because they're blended over chunky, loaded with cilantro, and they have no onions. We produce 5 flavors. You'll find Mrs. A's Salsa Buena in over 200 markets.
When you think of local, I want you to think of quality healthcare where you live. Think of local primary care physicians, local specialists, and local patient care coordinators. From Boulder Creek to Watsonville, Physicians Medical Group provides care from 100 locations throughout Santa Cruz County. PMG's patient care coordinators are the team you call when you need answers. To learn more about local healthcare with Physicians Medical Group, visit pmgscc.com or call 831-465-7800.
Remember the good old days when you could save your box tops from the cereal you ate, send them in, and get a wonderful prize? Well, this is kind of the same thing.
So this is a commercial where if you buy enough potato chips, you can send in your proof of purchase. I'm not going to tell you what you can get, but oh boy, you'd be so lucky. This is like from 1959.
Let sudden showers ruin your new hat or hairdo. Carry a Wise Owl rain hood in your purse or pocket. This clear plastic hood and carrying case are yours free. Send the Wise Owl trademark from any package of Wise Potato products to Rain Hood Wise Potato Chip Company, Berwick, Pennsylvania.
That's it. You buy a box of potato chips. Yeah, it's a box.
You get a clear plastic rain hat.
You get a clean plastic bag to put on your head.
Breathe easy.
Don't miss Good Morning Monterey Bay weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on KSCO. And listen anytime on KSCO mobile app.
Coming into the home stretch here, and Mary in Monterey has a question for Frank. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Yes.
I was spurred onto a question from Steve's call about Lincoln and Jefferson. He was angry that Lincoln and Jefferson's image of exception to other races was being corrected. And multiculturalism, as we have come to understand it, I believe what Frank is saying, is essentially a very destructive force in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And people have kind of got a fuzzy idea about it, and Frank is doing a great job in clarifying it, because this is what people have forgotten, is that people are more comfortable living with their own kind, and that does not make them racist.
I think we're tribal, Mary. You're right. Frank, you want to say anything?
No, I think I agree with her.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with her totally.
It's a practical explanation of why of this weapon they're using on us, they are using on us, the multiculturalism, is it disrupts our society and completely destroys our comfort zone and makes everybody very anxious. Because Wilson was a practical man. He was a good politician and a practical man. And he didn't see any way that the black could be easily integrated into white society. And so he was practical. And anybody who read his recent, but the Team of Rivals, that was very clearly outlined in that biography of Lincoln. Mm-hmm. That he was essentially a practical man, and he was just trying to see how the country could go forward with this problem. And
with everyone maintaining, he wanted the good of everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Mary, for bringing that point to us. And I think if we look around our country today, we see nothing but chaos.
Yeah, Georgia, I'd like to make one quick comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That in the last show, an issue was, someone brought up the issue that white men won't work. You've got to have, there's this idea that white men won't work, and so we've got to have colored people from everywhere to come and work for cheap wages, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Now, this myth didn't start recently. It was actually in the 1800s that when corporations started lobbying, they wanted cheaper, they wanted workers for the factories to work for cheap, and they wanted to bust the unions. So they lobbied the government in Washington for more immigration. And they had their newspaper boys spread the myth that white men won't work. So we've got to have, now we've got to have white men, meaning North European white men. So we've got to have Italians and Greeks. They'll work for cheap, and of course they'll bust the unions. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they wanted the railroads to be built. They wanted higher profits, so they wanted Chinese workers at quarter wages. So they created this myth of white men won't work.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Frank. We had a discussion last week on one of my shows, and I had many white construction workers and other people email me and call in and say they absolutely would be willing to work the fields, for instance.
I know they
here.
Would.
Yes.
Just a level playing field, and they'll do their work. Of course they will. But the myth was started long ago, and it was started in order to have this immigration that would get cheaper labor and bust the unions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. You know what amazes me? We look around the world. Africa is for Africans. Asia is for Asians. Mexico is for Mexicans. But somehow America and any other white country is simply for everybody.
You have been targeted for genocide and replacement. That's all there is to it. But before you take another call, just one...
We don't have any calls, so I had one more question for you. And
I did want to make a closing statement about a man, just for a few minutes.
Okay, but can I ask you a question first?
Yes.
Why has this constant immigration without stopping continued? Was it to build our country? What do you say about that?
Well, your country was built by the time it reached 100 million in population, it was built. After that, it's been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
The immigration has been used as a weapon to genocide the white peoples and to replace them. That's why you have a million people pouring in today. There is no justification for building more gas stations and parking lots and chopping down more forests.
Okay.
The only reason it's going on is to replace you.
All right. All right, well, we've got a few minutes. Close us out, Frank. This has been really quite fascinating.
Well, I'd like to talk about him since you're in California. Mm-hmm. I once met a man from California, and for his privacy, I'll just call him Uncle Bob. That's not his real name.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I only met him the once. So he lived in a part of California where you have the redwoods. He told me about a redwood highway. And his wife was a white woman of his time and of his type and of his middle class type. And they lived a good life in that community. They went to the community chorus where he didn't like singing "You Are My Sunshine." But he and his wife did like singing Thank You for the Music, California Dreaming, Danny Boy. Mm-hmm. His wife had a great interest in bird watching, him also, but not so much. They did the Sunday crossword puzzles together. And he was one of these guys who liked science fiction. And he liked a story called The Room. You might want to read it one day. The Room, R-U-U-M. Something that only white people would take an interest in, a story like that. And because he read Popular Mechanics, he had all these hobbies that got nowhere, like his attic had batwing gliders in it that lay, you know, sort of abandoned for a while. And they went to eco-discussions, the, you know, discussion groups where they discussed the fact that the Earth is being polluted and life is ending and we've got to, you know, save the ozone layer. Mm-hmm. And he was the kind of man who's, of course, you know, like a lot of white people are, they go to meetings and they go work collectively. He even went to the local Alcoholics Anonymous meetings to try and help some of the alcoholics. Or the drug takers, I suppose. And he and his wife liked to go to this Irish pub, or a pub of Irish style. They liked all that, but then it seems that his wife had been in the counterculture, and that affected her, and she was very liberal, and she also got into a bit of feminism, but one way or the other, one day she left him. And he moved to another part of California. Unfortunately for him, that part of California was very Latino by then. It was the money when the divorce was expensive, basically. Mm-hmm. For him, he had less money. And he moved to another part of California, and it was very Latino. And he ended up marrying a Latino woman who was 20 years younger because white women were so difficult, you know. They were prickly and sensitive and talked about cooking and cleaning as being sexist things. Whatever, his first marriage had taken him off white women. And he married this Latino woman who was way younger and was willing to marry him. The white women his age weren't. Or white women of any age weren't, I suppose. And he became deeply unhappy because Latinos don't go to community choruses. In fact, I think the community chorus, only white people do it, just people gathered for the joy of singing without any agenda for religion, you know, not for religious reasons or for other reasons. So his Latino wife wasn't into that. She thought his bird watching was lunatic. She took no interest in the crossword puzzle. Mm. She thought his sci-fi science fiction interests were also madness. And she was wanting to throw out his batwing gliders.
Oh, my.
And she certainly didn't want to go to any discussion groups about the ozone layer and the methane belt and
how species
were dying out. And as for going to an AA meeting, the only mad gringos go to meetings to discuss each other's problems. And the Irish pub wasn't really for her. So
I think we get your point, Frank.
Well, he began to have memories, you see. He had memories of his wife spotting a bird in the garden, and she'd quickly pop into her study and fetch out her bird book and try to identify the bird. So he had all these memories, but very sad, and he eventually left California and looked around Washington State for a while. But he felt maybe that was going too, and he ended up in a small town here in British Columbia called Vernon, in California, he felt like a man without a country,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Oh, Frank, I'm afraid, Frank, we are out of time. I think we get the point of your story, though.
All I say is that do you really want that man should be deprived of his country, of his folk, mm-hmm. of a society of his own on the lie that we are a nation of immigrants?
I get it, Frank. Frank, I can't thank you enough for being here today. You have certainly given us a lot of food for thought. I hope we can do this again. I want to remind you all, Frank's book is Sweet Dreams and Terror Cells. It's available on Amazon.com. I promise you won't regret reading that book. It is a tremendous book. So that's it for us today. Thank you all for joining us. I hope you learned something today that you didn't know before. With our great guest, Frank Raymond. And just know something, no one can go back and make a brand new start. However, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. So let's not set ourselves on fire in order to keep others warm. All right, everybody, we'll be back to do it again on Friday. Please join us. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, Ann and Jason, and thank you, Sam. And we are out of here. So, Sam, do you want to say goodbye to our audience?
You bet I do. First of all, thank you to Frank, our guest.
Absolutely.
For giving us 2 hours of fascinating opinion to think about and possibly do some research on.
Do some research. Look up those quotes, folks.
And just the same, thank you everyone for listening. And for those of you who are participated, you, of course, we always thank you as well. So we're going to hit the road, and
we'll see you
Friday.
And it's beautiful out there, so enjoy the sunshine here in paradise. We'll be back on Friday to do it again. Thank you again, Frank.